Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, we've been watching Stilfontein, and I promise that we're going to be focusing quite a bit of information, attention to this particular story. We do have some breaking news. We've got our reporter at Stilfontein, Bizo Mulimane, who is going to give us that breaking news. There was a press briefing given by the different officials about maybe 30 minutes ago, and so let's just hear it from Bizo, who is out there on the ground. Bizo, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela.
So you were telling us that there is some breaking news on this particular story. Just maybe give us the headlines.
Indeed, Pamela. Just after 6, when we left the shaft 11, Stilfontein, on our way, we received calls that police are asking for an agent media briefing. Mm-hmm. And then upon arriving, we went back. Upon arriving, the police, the acting Northwest Provincial Police Commissioner, Major General Patrick Asaning, told us that the operation has been called off. This is the operation that started Monday. It's a new operation. That's what we've been calling it. Why? Because it's been using machinery. The crane has been taken down since Monday. And as we speak, Pamela, 324 illegal miners, dead or alive, have been brought to surface since the operation started. And then the breakdown is as follows. 78 have been certified dead, and 264 are alive human beings.
And just maybe just to be clear, the operation has been called off indefinitely, or until when?
The rescue operation has been called off, not the Operation Balumkoti, the rescue operation which started on Monday. This is the one that has been called off. But this operation, Pamela, initially had a deadline of, in fact, it was set up for 10 days. Mm-hmm. So now it has managed to resurface all the miners underground as well as the bodies underground in just 3 days, meaning today. So tomorrow, Pamela, the Mine Rescue Service team has assured government and the Northwest Police that they will take down their state-of-the-art equipment. That's what they call it, state-of-the-art equipment, which has cameras and can search and do whatever that they want to do, just to verify. They're doing this. They're taking again the crane down with that state-of-the-art equipment to certify themselves that indeed no one has been left behind the 2 kilometer distance underground.
So is the thought, what led to this? So I just want to be clear, what led them to deciding that they are calling off the operation? They had given themselves 10 days. Is the sense that there is no one else underneath there? What informs that?
So, Pamela, this is how the operation has been operating. The crane has been manned or managed by community leaders. These are the community leaders who initially had established communication with the illegal miners underground through the rope and the nodes and lights. Now, they have been manning this crane, going down with the crane, to collect the bodies, mm-hmm. and then also mm-hmm. to help the weak illegal miners down there. So now, this afternoon, Pamela, just after they've been doing like trips
yes.
the whole day.
Yes.
And then so they went down this afternoon, just after 5. And then when they came back, then they said, look, we searched, no one there.
So just to be clear, the community members that have been volunteering to go down, they went down with the crane and they're saying they found that was, so I'm struck by something, because before they take down the crane for that very last time, they would have had a sense that they are now picking up the last person. The disconnect there for me is a bit strange.
Yes, this is exactly what they told when they came back, that there's no one there. So verification to say that, no, you need to go back down there so that you make sure maybe others were, you know what I'm saying, just to make sure. And then indeed they went back, and then which then was then said that you came back and then you were saying this and that. How do we trust you that? And then they say, we can make statement, we can put all this under oath. And then according to the Major General, this is exactly what happened. But he is also saying that it's risky. And then even the rescue team here have said that we will tomorrow again, you know, follow a process to make sure that indeed, you know, we satisfy ourselves that there is no one still left behind.
There are obviously suspicions about whether this is actually the case or not. Am I the only one who's a bit skeptical of the fact that there is no one down there anymore? How does the community feel?
Well, I'm talking to you now, Pinelo. It's almost 8:30. Mm-hmm. So it's even dark here, but we are with the police here. So community members, we will know from community members tomorrow. Mm-hmm. With regard to how do they feel. But obviously, yes, I agree with you that even myself, you know, talking to you, having heard that, you know, there are tunnels underground there.
Yes.
And then there's been spider shops underground there. So there are chances that, you know, and then the issue here is that the kingpins, where are the kingpins? Mm-hmm. Kingpins have been terrorizing, abducting, and then assaulting some of the illegal miners allegedly underground there. So where are they? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So these are some of the things that I think even the police, you know, might have been asking themselves. And then, but, you know, verification tomorrow, we'll hear more of this tomorrow. As I said, you know, this operation has just been called off this evening at 7.
So the operation officially has been called off. Have the police left the vicinity? In other words, are they going to remain on site, making sure no one actually comes up in any other way?
Yes, the operation, there are two operations here, Pamela. There's this rescue operation, which has been called off, but the Operation Chanela, which is the one that is targeting illegal mining, continues. This one is not stopping. So
okay.
Police are still here.
Mm-hmm.
Police still continue with the illegal mining, making sure that illegal mining doesn't continue here, making sure that, you know, some of the community members suspected to be illegal miners are not coming back here, you know, to continue with the trade. So, mm-hmm. Yes, police are still here, and then they will remain being here until, you know, we don't know until when.
So, have we been promised a press briefing tomorrow?
Yes, there will be an update tomorrow with regard to when the crane goes down and then come back. But there will be an update tomorrow, so that tomorrow is the police making sure, as well as the rescue the mine rescue service team that has been behind this rescue operation, you know, making sure and verifying and giving the benefit of doubt that indeed we managed to resurface everyone.
Wow. Thank you very, very much, Pizzo Mulimani, our reporter out in Stilfontein, as you've heard it here for the first time. Well, the operation to rescue the miners has been called off. We'll get some more information tomorrow, but this is based on the fact that the last time the crane went down, nobody came up. On the line with us is attorney at Lawyers for Human Rights. Mame Tlasibe is also, I believe, at Stilfontein. A very good evening, Mr. Sibe. Good evening, and thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Compliments, Pamela, and pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you very much for making time for us. What do you know about the operation being called off, Mr. Sibe?
Well, no, it is because that the, you know, last group of miners that were there actually, you know, came out. And, you know, so we have managed to retrieve all the bodies. but also all the miners that, you know, were all visible to us and so on. So that's the reason that was called off. I think the system was much more efficient than anybody had anticipated. But that's partly also because miners themselves were lining up disparately and wanted to come out. So every time that, you know, lift went down, they flocked, came in, it went up quickly. So that's the reason I think it was making something like 15, 16, 15, 18 trips a day, which was very impressive in terms of efficiency.
Are you really confident, Mr. Subey, that everybody's out, especially including the bodies?
Not really. Well, I mean, as for the bodies, and but also the living miners, it's not realistic. One is because many of the miners have died from falling and drowning in the underground tunnels, but also some of the miners, in the period when there was no rescue, they left, you know, trying to see if they can find other exits through a dark, you know, underground, you know, tunnels that are flooded. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, I just learned that I'm not even so sure that this is an appropriate thing to say at this point in time. Like the brother of Zinzi, who, or only whose name we went to court, to force the state to get to a point where they are having this rescue. You know, the last report is that about 2 weeks ago, when there was no risk to anything because he was in a dire, dire health situation, you know, said to people he's going to try and find what exit there is, probably in Stilfontein, Shaft 10. He left 2 weeks ago, he has not surfaced, and obviously now all the people that were with him at the point where they are being lifted to the surface, they've come out. So I think his story is probably not the only one. It is probably a story of many miners that, you know, have been lost between shaft 10, I mean, shaft 11, which is where the crisis is, and, of course, you know, somewhere in the underground tunnels, which are dark, treacherous, flooded, as they're desperately trying to make their way to shaft 10 without any map or guidance of any type, of any form.
This is what you explained to me a while ago when you and I spoke, saying that there are many, many levels to this. And as people find their way, things can happen along some of these tunnels. So you know, the police had given themselves 10 days. Is it too early to call off the rescue mission in your view?
Well, they're not really called of the rescue, to the best of my knowledge. It's just that the people that were there, all of them came out. So, as I said, I think 200 and... let me just check.
It's actually right now we're speaking of 324 in total, but 264 came out alive.
Yes, so it is, yes, 246 came out alive. 78 bodies were retrieved. Obviously, these are the people that were located in areas where there was form of communication with the surface. But obviously, the number, you know, when you talk to some of these miners, they will tell you that, you know, those that even surface at shaft 10, I think this is a point I tried to explain earlier. Those that have surfaced at 10, they will tell us that we left there being about 12, 13, but when we arrived there, only about 3, 4, 5 of us made it to the surface. Because when you are crawling in those dark, you know, flooded tunnels, as they explained to us, it's very difficult to follow what happens to the person behind you, right? And that is how many would have lost their lives, as I've said, from falling and drowning, because you don't even know, you know, the depth as well as the chemical content of the water that you're entering in those tunnels.
So what would have been ideal for you, Mr. Sibeya? I mean, you have been calling for government to act swiftly and all of that. In this scenario, then, at this point, what would have been ideal?
I mean, Pimalo, this government had an option in terms of how to conduct this operation. If it hadn't, you know, just dehumanized and criminalized all of these miners, right? And we know, in August, they arrived there. They said to the people who were taking these miners in and out, go away, right? When it was very clear that at shaft 11, these miners had no way of coming out without the people on the surface putting them out. Any caring government could have said to them, send the word down, tell them that we're here, nobody's going down anymore, there will not also be any food going down there. Now you are only coming out. And we're only allowing people to exit. If they had done that, in actual fact, the state would have saved huge amount of resources. This profit now, this couldn't have been necessary, but also the police staying there for months without an end would not have been necessary at that point in time. But also, even after it became clear of them waiting in futility at the home without anybody coming out, when we made aware, when the police system was re-established, and we then argued about the amount of food. They said that we are lavishing these, you know, miners with tons of food. Now, look at the state of these miners. I've provided the death certificates of some of these miners on the group. I think Tandu would have shared with you. It is clear they are dying of starvation. But they resemble ghosts. And they are bound to their baby skeletons. Right? And there is not any other way of regarding this as a revolting and a ghastly mass murder of this miners. And that's the reason it's characterized as a massacre.
Mr. Sibeya, I've got to let you go. That line is sort of failing us now. Thank you very much. He's an attorney at Lawyers for Human Rights, Mametlwe Sibeya.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
We're staying with the story. Lots of you have asked questions. I have now a community leader, Johannes Tlankashe, who we've spoken to before. And obviously, we wanted to get a sense of how the community is reacting to the news of the suspension of the rescue program. Johannes, thank you so much again for talking to us. Good evening and welcome.
No, thank you very much.
I'm sure you've heard that the rescue operation has been called off. Your reaction to that?
No, it's a sign of relief. It's a sign of relief because we've been wanting this to happen. We've been wanting these people to be saved, to be resurfaced, to be extracted from underground. But it's very worrisome to check if we have such a huge number of people who have lost their lives. Because if you can check that number that they are appearing on social media, 78 bodies. It's only 78 bodies for that 3 days. There's also that 11 deceased that we retrieved as volunteers using the rope. So it's going to add that 11 on top of that 78, which is going to give you 89. We're close to 100. People have lost their lives because of the government that does not care for people. The government that wants to always move on a snail pace. Because if ever they've listened to us from last year, October, when we said to them, people are dying. People are dying out of hunger, out of starvation. Such thing will not have happened now.
Johannes, do you feel that this is a good time to call off the rescue operation? Are you confident that everybody who's alive is out?
No, we must be confident because we send people there to go and communicate and to go and check. They did their work. On the first day on Monday, they went to all sites. They said they went to all the sections in that shaft to check and even ask them, let's go, all of us, and go and retrieve each and everybody that is underground there and call everybody to come here on the entrance of the shaft underneath so that we can tell them that their help is on its way. We bought a safer way, which is that cage. So I don't think there's someone who will remain there. If ever there's someone who has remained there, he remained there on his own will, which will not be a responsibility of anyone, but our responsibility and our main objective. It was for us to save those lives, of which for the past 4 months,
3.5 months. We did it. We did it because all those people were retrieved. They were not retrieved by government. They were retrieved by us as community volunteers, as community leaders. Because you must understand another thing. The people who went down with the cage are the members of the community.
Yes.
Even the team from the rescuers, they could not send their person down there. Mm. Even the police enforcement agents, they could not even send their person there. So it surely clearly shows that everybody who has been rescued from all the shafts, the migrant shafts, the 10 shafts, the 11 shafts, was rescued by the community. Because the line of communication was the community.
What would you like to see happen going forward?
No, as much as the minister have said, it's high time now, after this this operation has been called off, it's high time that we must go and speak to the MRE. Because everyone can see that Kuma, it has turned to be a ghost town. It has turned to be a ghost town. So it's our responsibility as leaders to go and approach the MRE and see how best we can promote this issue of low-scale mining and also this artisanal mining. Because at the end of the day, people, they survived through those shafts. But now, it's very important that all of us as a community, we must sit down and find an amicable solution to this problem that we are having. We are not promoting illegal mining. We are not promoting any criminal activity as leaders. But what we are saying, we must defend the Constitution and the right of each and every citizen. Because the Constitution is very clear. Everyone has the right to shelter. You cannot have shelter. Everyone has a right to life, to food. You cannot have food, cannot have shelter while you are unemployed. So the high rate of unemployment that is happening in Kuma and Stilfontein, it is the root cause of what we have experienced. We have experienced a deed that has never happened in our country.
You are proposing, correct me if I'm wrong, that this mine does not get permanently closed, but is rehabilitated perhaps, and artisanal mining can continue.
You are correct, ma'am. It's very important. Because it's going to create a lot of jobs for all those unemployed young people. If you can come to our location and move around, just around in 10 in the morning, you will see a group of young people standing on the corners to show you they are not working. High rate of unemployment is too much in Kuma, regardless of the people who went down the shaft. Because at the end of the day, these people who are called illegal immigrants, this one from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe, from the South, they are our brothers. We are living with them in Kuma. We grew up like that in Kuma. Because Kuma was previously a mining town. Mm. As much as it has turned to be a ghost town today, we've lived in harmony with all these African brothers of ours.
So what do you then say to those who say that it is you who are saying that they terrorize the community?
No, you must understand, everybody has his own or her own opinion. Mm. If you are terrorized as a resident, you know there are channels that you must follow. There's those enforcement agents. There are police. There are CPFs. There are community leaders, councillors. As much as I've been a councillor before, if ever there's someone terrorizing you, it's very important you come to your community. From there as a community, it's our responsibility to see how best we protect one another. Because you cannot say if one person was terrorized for something, we will say everyone, every closer, they are terrorizing the community, or every one that's terrorizing the community. What is very important, you just tell who that person is terrorizing you as leaders. Law enforcement agents must make, the law must take its course. Because you cannot allow for people to be harassed, not under this constitution, democratic constitution that they are living under. We cannot allow that thing.
So, again, just to make sure, you would like for this the mine to reopen and not to completely close?
Yes, we will appreciate that very well. We'll appreciate it that very well. Because you must understand one thing, my sister. Kuma once has been a hub for criminals, more especially this thing of house breaking, theft and stuff. But since this thing has started, you could see it in the economy. We did not even have a bigger store in Stilfontein. But since this thing has started, there's some improvement when it comes to economy. But now is the right time for us as a community to club together from there and do things in a legal way.
Are you going to have further engagements with the Ministry of Police, with the Ministry of DMRE?
If the need arises for us to have engagement with them, we will. At the end of the day, they are still our leaders. Regardless how angry we were at them, on the day that they failed us. You see, but the first of the matter that they are still our leaders. We are led by them. In the republic, we are led. This is not just a banana republic. It's a state that is led by leaders whom we elected ourselves. So it's very important for them. At most of the time, they must listen to the people. This is the government of the people by the people.
Some of the community leaders yesterday were unhappy with the utterances of Petroleum and Energy Minister. Is that the sentiment of everyone in the community, would you say?
No, I can't say the sentiment of everyone in the community. Mm. Because we are so close to this issue of this Vallamgod. So that's why some of us were angry. Because we don't need leaders that are arrogant. We don't need such leaders. A leader must always be humble to the nation, to the people that is serving. You see the statement that was said by the Minister of President. It really showed us that all the ministers, unless that was the statement that was delivered to the Minister of the President by the President himself. Because you cannot have arrogant ministers who does not want to listen to community, who does not want to listen to the same people, these civilians, who took them to those positions, or pushed them today, that they are occupying. So it becomes disturbing to us when our leaders, they just make joke of us in a situation, a painful, dire situation that we find ourselves in as community of Kumen Stefantein.
I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening, Johannes Kankashe, who is a community leader in Stilfontein, just giving us a sense of how they feel about the suspension of the operation. Mpo is in Delmas. You've got a comment, Mpo?
Nepomeda, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay, I'm more from Delmas. I feel so weird now. Okay, but I've got two questions for the gentleman. The first one is, I understand everyone has a right to human rights and all of that. So I put this to you. Someone breaks into his house, he's got a spare room, the person says, I'm staying here because I've got nowhere to stay. Will he let that person stay or will he kick that person out? Because those people, some of them went there voluntarily, some of them allegedly they were forced to go to those mines. But no, it's the country's fault that they are not being helped. Second question, the money that they're spending on retrieving those guys out, the 12 million, as he says, there's high unemployment in the area. Wouldn't that money school with the NSFAS? So are we saying that we are promoting criminality with this? Yes, you understand that unemployment is rife. But with such actions where the law-abiding citizens' human rights do not matter, but you put criminals' human rights first, We are pushing lawlessness in the country. That's my 2 cents worth on this.
All right. Paul, there in Delmas. We've got to have to leave it to there because we've got Thabiseng who's standing by. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Thabiseng Dubazana in a short while.
Mm-hmm. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.